You would this evening to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll give us just a minute as we get into this, see if you can't figure out what our topic is this evening. We're actually going to be going through the first 8 verses, and then we'll also skip ahead and do verses 16 through 18. And if you're wondering why we're going to skip verses 9 through 14, it's because I intend, or 9 through 15, I intend to hit that section next week as it deals with prayer. And so we'll look at 9 through 15 next week. But today, we'll be in Matthew 6, 1 through 8, and then 16 through 18. You ever wonder, why do some people not go to church? It's a very important question. There's many different answers. Let me just throw this out to you. Here's a chance. I don't do this too often. Here's a chance for you just to give me some reasons. Why do some people not go to church, all right? Just give me some reasons. All right, yeah, there's a feeling I have to be perfect before coming to church. Good one. All right, yes. So the opposite. Some say I'm already perfect. I don't need church. Good. What are some other reasons? All right, they're unsaved. It doesn't enter their mind. Any other thoughts? These are all good answers. I'm not looking for a right or wrong answer here. Yes, they've been hurt. Yeah, all good answers. See, we could probably come up with a long list. Church is boring. That might be somebody younger. Services are too long. I got hurt in church. They only want my money. Hey, all different reasons for it. And we could keep going on. But the one that perhaps is said the most, at least in my opinion, is one that you can probably finish the sentence. The reason I don't go to church is because the church is filled with what? See, you guys are smart. I knew you knew it. The church is filled with hypocrites. Hey, let me say two things about that, all right? First, guilty as charged. We are hypocrites. We really are. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. We are. Church is full of sinners. Even if it's full of believers, we still sin. We are hypocrites. But secondly, we also recognize then that we are all susceptible to the sin of hypocrisy. We all at times are very close to failing or not practicing what we preach or what we say we believe. And that's really what we're getting at this evening. As we're going to look through this first portion of chapter 6, and we're going to see Jesus is speaking to hypocrites. It's actually a word that occurs more than a dozen times in the book of Matthew. And it's an issue that was obviously a concern for him. And so here in this part that we're looking at tonight, Jesus is going to really address three pillars of Judaism, three things that they held on to tightly. He's speaking of giving, prayer, and fasting. But as we get through here, we're going to understand that the issue is related to motive. Why do you give? Why do you fast? Why do you pray? Why do you pray? And we're going to see that there is a danger for us, that these are good things to do, but we often have an issue of motive. Dallas Willard, he gives a very wise and helpful warning at this point. He says, desire for religious respect or reputation will immediately drag us into the rightness of scribes and Pharisees, because that desire always focuses entirely upon the visible action, not on the source of action in the heart. But really, it's getting at what we saw throughout chapter number 5. It's a heart issue that he's dealing with. We're looking at a spiritual issue, a heart issue. And really, so our text is divided easily in three parts. Let's look first in verses 1 through 4. We're going to see a warning about giving, a warning that is related to giving. Look in verse 1 through 4. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus has earlier told us in Matthew chapter 5, he had said, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So previously he said, let your works be seen. But now in relation to giving and prayer and fasting, he's saying that this is, you're doing these for the Lord. It's not about the show. And so we see this, it seems like almost a surprising twist. We are to do good works, but not for fanfare, not for prestige, not for show. In fact, they are usually best done in secret or in private. I imagine for those who are first hearing this, this would have been a shock. This wasn't the norm in their culture. The Bible, though, has a lot to say in this first section. The Bible has a lot to say about the grace of giving. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapters number 8 and 9, Paul actually says quite a bit about the grace of giving. He tells to give sacrificially, to give joyfully, to give liberally, to give thankfully. But here in verses 1 through 4, he gives us two more principles. Jesus actually gives us two principles as it relates to the grace of giving. First, it isn't to impress others. Our giving in church or giving to the needy or the poor is not about impressing others. In chapter 5 and verse 20, as you remember, we've looked at it many times where he says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And now in chapter 6 and verse 1, he's giving a comparison, a statement when he tells his disciples, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. The last five words there, and others to be seen by them, are very important to help us see this contradiction of letting your light so shine, and now he's speaking of the motive. You're letting your light shine, but it's not about the show. And be careful is really a present imperative. It's a word of command. He's commanding them, be careful, be calling for constant watchfulness. Be constantly looking, be constantly aware. He's teaching us that there's an important question that we must ask. When we do good works, we should ask, why am I doing this? When I am giving, why am I giving? What is my motivation in relation to giving or prayer or fasting? Is my desire to honor and glorify God, or is it to gain praise for myself from others? So we ask, why am I doing this? If it's the latter reason, notice what verse 1 says. It says, for then you will have no reward. If it was the former, you're doing it to be seen by others. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And you see, men, if your earthly goal is an earthly reward, you'll get nothing more. Men may praise you, but not God. And so verses 2 through 4 is the first way that this is illustrated. With the point of giving. Whenever you give to the poor, the assumption is you will give. If you notice there in verse 2, when you give to the needy, don't make a show of this. Don't sound a trumpet. Really, this figure of speech, as he says, sound no trumpet before you. He's saying don't be like the hypocrites who are out on the streets being approved by people, making sure everybody knows what they're doing. Why? Well, again, he says, because I tell you that you truly, he says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And Jesus is really saying, don't go out shouting, hey, look at me, see what I'm doing. Don't announce your righteousness on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. You know, this isn't the right audience. I doubt many of us are on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat. I'm on Facebook, so I'm on that one. I'm not on the others, all right? So don't worry if you say, boy, what is this? Where's the preacher speaking? But even on that one that I do, Facebook, you know how many times I've seen videos or things that people are showing what they've done? Look, I saw this person and I gave them all you know, we do that. We want people to know what we're doing. He adds in verse 3, notice what he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's saying don't in your pride be celebrating your own acts of righteousness. It's an idea of privacy, so much so that half your body doesn't even realize is really the thought behind it. Quarles, he puts it well. He says, the disciple must not give so that he can pat himself on the back or applaud his own goodness. If a disciple should refuse to seek to be self-complimentary, how much more should he avoid seeking to be a spiritual celebrity in the eyes of others? Now, before we move on, I'm sure we've spoken on this, the word hypocrite there. When he's calling them hypocrites in verse number 2, as the hypocrites do, it's a word we've spoken on before, maybe one you're familiar with, about the play actors. They would have that mask they would put on their face. The verbal form of the word was often used in Jewish writings in the time of the Old Testament even, and the New Testament. It was spoken of as if somebody who's pretending. You're covering who you truly are. And many ancient play actors, they desired to be celebrities. They desired the applause, and so they would pretend. They would act. They enjoyed getting the prizes, the awards, the notoriety of others because of their performances. This is what Jesus is saying. You're a hypocrite. You are doing this to put on a show. You are doing this for the applause of others. You're doing this so that they are sitting there saying, oh, you are so good. What a good person you are. Jesus says, they are hypocrites. Isaiah had said in 29 and verse 13, Isaiah said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. You see, this suggests that hypocrisy involves pretended devotions or devotion to God, empty worship, substituting human authority and the appeasement of humans for God. As we already talked about, these ancient drama actors, they didn't wear makeup, they wore masks, they represented a part they played. That's the hypocrite. We were pretending to be one thing when all the time we were something else. When it comes to giving, don't act like it's for God when you want to make a show and the appeasement of others. And so what else does he say? If it's not about a show for others, he does say, Jesus says, it is about pleasing God. Look at verse 1 and verse 4. In verse 1, he finishes, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. In verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He brackets this entire conversation of giving with the focus of where our attention needs to be. Our attention in giving should be on the Lord. We seek His approval, not others. We seek His pleasure alone. The reward we desire is one that comes from our Father in heaven. It's kind of like a child who longs for mom or dad's approval and desires that. God says, or Jesus saying, hey, this is what you should be desiring. God's, our Father in heaven. And so we give in quietly, almost always in secret, giving to God. It's not about what others do. Now, there are times in Scripture where, like Barnabas in the book of Acts, he gives, but it wasn't about exalting himself. It was to encourage others in their faithfulness. Unlike Ananias and Sapphira, who also gave in Acts, but they deceived and they were doing it for show. And if you know what happened to them, their lives were quickly taken from them. So what do we see? what the desire is, a reward from God. The great and greatest and most wonderful reward is God and His pleasure. You know, if we give to Him, we discover that God is all we really need. And so the first thing we get is a warning about giving. Then we move on to verses 5 through 8, and I want us to see a caution about prayer. A caution about prayer. Look at verse 5 through 8. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." And so he moves from the spiritual discipline of giving to the spiritual discipline of prayer. Prayer, in the simplest form, is communicating with God. It's talking with God. That's the simplest way to put it. God is listening as we are talking to Him. As we consider this, it was said by a man, the last name Whitney. I somehow deleted his first name, but I think it's Mark Whitney. He says, "God not only has spoken clearly and powerfully to us through Christ in the Scriptures, He also has a very large ear continuously open to us. He will hear every prayer of His children, even when our prayers are weaker than a snowflake. That's why, of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is second only to the intake of God's Word in importance. Despite the penultimate importance of prayer, however, statistical surveys and experience seems to agree that a large percentage of professing Christians spend little time in sustained prayer. And while they may offer a sentence of prayer here and there throughout their day, they rarely spend more than a very few minutes, if that, alone in conversation with God. It's very easy to make people feel guilty about failure in prayer, but we must come to grips with the fact that to be like Jesus, we must pray." And that was in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. So to become more like Jesus, we must be praying. We must be praying to God. But he gives us some guidelines here. If you notice in verse number 5, we're given of a guideline to pray sincerely to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And not like the hypocrites who love to stand and preach on the street corners, they'll receive their reward. It sounds an awful lot like we looked on giving. And when he had said in giving that when you give to the needy, and now he says, and when you pray, the idea again is that you will be praying. But he gives this familiar warning. Do not be like the hypocrites. Don't pretend to be what you are not. Don't put on a show. As hypocrites, we love to flaunt our spirituality. I think I've told you before how I remember as a kid, we'd have a Wednesday night prayer group, and I would be there in the summers when we didn't have kids programs, and I remembered with those men, I wanted to sound good. I'd want to go long, and so I'd put on a show. You know, I still have that temptation. Yeah, when I got to pray at the Capitol, you know what? I found myself writing out the prayers and praying, God, what should I be praying? And I was, you know, planning ahead because here's going to be all these politicians around. It better not sound like I'm ignorant or something, you know? We're like that, especially around others or people we say, oh, they're a little better or more spiritual, and we often will do this. And Jesus says that's being hypocritical. And truly, I tell you, you have your reward. Hypocrites are not sincere when they pray. They pray for show. As we consider this, just a couple simple questions to consider. First, do you pray longer in public than you do in private? Do you notice a difference in your prayers when others are around than you do when you're on your own? I think verse 7 is going to speak to this also when we get there. When he says, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. But the second thing to consider is, do you pray differently in public before others than you do in private before your Heavenly Father. And not just the length, but is your style even different? I think that helps us to evaluate, am I being sincere in prayer? I think you're probably the most sincere when there is nobody around, when it's just you and God. And so he says in verse number 6, pray secretly to your Heavenly Father. He says, pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, Jesus, there is no command anywhere from Jesus or in the Bible that condemns public prayer. We've done it. We will continue to have public prayer. It's practiced throughout the Bible. It's in a very important part of worship. However, what we see here is that public prayer is no substitute for personal private prayer. We still need to have this, and so Jesus gives us a pattern. He says, first, when you pray, find a private place, or go into a private room and shut your door. Secondly, seek out the Father who is in heaven. You don't need to make a show. You're in a prayer closet. You're by yourself. You don't need to make a show of this. Pray to your Heavenly Father who is in secret. And he's saying, look, this is a private affair between you and the Lord. And notice the repetition of the word secret in verse 4. He had said secret two times. He says it in verse 6. He also says it two times. Who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. He's going to say it later again in verse number 18. He's going to say secret two times. What he's trying to help us understand is that when we are in private, that's who you really are. When you're praying in private, when it's only you and God and he's the only one who can see you, you're going to be more open. You're going to be more sincere. God is watching. And so Jesus concludes verse 7 as he did in verse number 4, and saying, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The hypocrite prays for the approval of a human audience, but a true disciple prays for the approval of God. That's all that we need. And so we are told to pray secretly to our Heavenly Father. We also saw that we pray sincerely to our Father. And then thirdly, pray specifically to your Heavenly Father. As he says in verse 7 and 8, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask them. And really, he's saying, don't just say mindless words. Don't just say stuff to say stuff. Just be open. Just share with God. He's saying, don't babble. Don't just keep going on with empty phrases or vain repetitions. He says, that's what the Gentiles do, the pagans, the unbelievers. He's saying, don't pray like them, speaking nonsense. Just because you have many words, it doesn't mean God hears you anymore. That was illustrated with Elijah and the prophets in the Old Testament. You could say a lot and have a lot of words, but it doesn't mean much. You can't manipulate God. He's saying, don't be like them, because your Father already knows exactly what you need before you even ask. God knows what you're going to ask before you ever do it. He's aware of your needs. He's attentive to them. And so even before you call on God, he tells us in Isaiah, I like what he says in Isaiah 65:24. Isaiah says, even before they call, I, the Lord, will answer them. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Friends, just talk to God. Talk to God like a child who talks to their loving parents. Think of how a child talks to their mom or dad. Talk to him like he is a perfect Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. He is ready. He is willing. He is able. He doesn't need us to just babble on. Just pray. Just talk to him. And so he's spoken on giving. He spoke on prayer. Now we're going to skip ahead. Next week, while I'm skipping 9 through 15, is because he actually does almost an aside to give the proper way to pray. And so we're going to speak on that next week. But I believe verses 16 through 18 fits in with this section, because again, he's talking about hypocrites. And so we see an admonition about fasting. Look at verses 16 through 18. It says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so we've moved on to our third spiritual discipline, giving, prayer, and now fasting. Isn't it interesting, though, fasting is one that we don't really talk about much anymore. It's not something that we deal with, and I confess that I don't speak on it much either. But the Bible addresses the subject in many places, and so just describing it biblically for just a moment for us, fasting is abstaining from food or drinking or sexual activity for purposes of prayer, spiritual devotion, mourning, grieving, repentance. Fasting, we see in the Bible, it's done at times on a corporate level, but usually it's done individually between you and the Lord. In fact, the Old Testament required, it told us in Leviticus, that there was a time specifically required for self-denial, and the whole nation would fast on the Day of Atonement. And so we see that there was fasting in scriptures. And the Old Testament prophets, they actually condemned the hypocrisy in fasting in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Joel. And so Jesus, as he's teaching on this, this is nothing new. Hey, this is something they would have been familiar with, something they've heard about. And he addresses it really in a similar way to that he addressed prayer and giving. That whenever you fast, he says, and when you fast, the idea is there will be fasting. And he gives us these things, these instructions about it. The first thing he gives us in verse number 16 is don't draw attention to yourself when you fast. Church, does it kind of sound like a broken record here? When you do this, it's not for the attention of others, it's for God. When you see repetition like this, it's meaning this is very important that you get it, that we understand this. Don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. The word gloomy is like a sad face. They put on this show like, oh, woe is me. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm fasting. And Jesus says that's what the actors do. That face they put on, a sad face. They're not really sad, but they're making it look that way. Making their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to others. They're fasting to make a show for men. Their interest is not the approval of God, it's approval of men. And so Jesus, what he's telling us, if that's their goal, they succeed. And they get the praise from man. That's their reward. They're deceptive and they're dishonest, and they're not going to receive a reward from God. Because what is God seeing in all three of these? God sees the heart. Man sees the outward appearance. God sees the heart. The scribes and Pharisees, they were all about outward appearances when God says it's a heart matter that he's dealing with. So they receive a temporary praise of man instead of the right praise from an eternal God. Oh, what a fool the hypocrite is. And so don't draw attention to yourself when you fast. But verses 17 and 18, he's saying, just act normal. When you fast, just act like it normal. You notice what it says? Just when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others. It's saying, look, you should take away the focus of your attention and affections. Take it away from there. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face. And that was really saying, just act normal. Go make it so nobody realizes anything's going on. And you see in the climate here, it's a very hot climate. It's very sticky. It's dry. And so you would normally put this oil on to help your scalp out. I watched a video the other day about beard oil. In case you can't tell, it's taken me a long time. I'm trying to grow a beard, all right? So don't think I'm just being not shaving. I'm trying to do something new. But I saw this video, how to grow a beard, and they talked about beard oil. And they said that you need it to, it's not for the hair, it's for the skin underneath. It gets dry. That's what's going on here. They're in this climate, and they would put on this oil to make their face and stuff not look dry. They're washing themselves. That was a normal activity. He's saying, do normal things. Freshen yourself. Make yourself look good so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. God knows what you're doing, and that's the only one who matters. And God who is invisible, God who is spirit, God sees everything. And we may not see God, but God sees you. In fact, we really should never forget that God sees everything. God even sees why you're doing what you're doing. There is no secret from God. It says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, his reward might come later, but whenever it comes, it'll be much greater than the praise of man. So we should really move from any sort of spiritual show that we need others to see and be focused in our motivation of what God sees. Why am I giving? Why am I praying? Why do I fast? We do it for the Lord. And so these practices of spiritual disciplines, we don't play to the audience. Don't play to those around us. Don't put on a show. Don't put on like the hypocrites. Go just think of the one who sees everything and sees even why we're doing things. God alone should be our concern. He is the one that we should seek pleasure from. This was certainly the way of Jesus. As Jesus went to the cross, he went for people like you and me. As Jesus prayed, as Jesus followed all of the plan to the cross, he didn't do it to get for the pleasure of man. He did it to please God. God, not my will be done, but thine. He did it for the Lord. May our Heavenly Father in his grace and mercy help us to learn this lesson too. Learn the way of Jesus, that in our lives we please God rather than men. Would you pray with me? Were you going to say something, brother? Yeah. 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 Why fast? Well, you see a lot of it. It's about your relationship to God. So how would we see it sometimes in Scripture? I think of like when Esther was going to go before the king. You remember why did Esther had everybody pray? Why? Or they fasted. Well, that was because they said, this is a serious matter. I'm going to the Lord. We're going to devote this to prayer. So you're giving things up with the idea is I'm taking that time that I would be eating a meal to be praying. I'm giving something up and instead replacing it with prayer. So it's showing that I'm depending on God for food. I'm depending on God for everything. So a lot of it is showing a seriousness. It could be a time of repentance or you're repenting of something. It could be, I remember my dad would do it when one of his children were on a missions trip. He would do a time of fasting because he would be spending it in praying for the one on the missions trip. So there are various reasons that we could do it, whether it's turmoil, whether it's a great need, but all of it is focused on God. Does that answer your question, brother? Oh, good. Any other questions? Yes, Brother Rodney.
Clearly the Bible talks about the fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But often thought that sometimes we fast really upset about something.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't even think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In my mind, there was like kind of fasting.
That's good. Yeah. I've never thought of that, but I know what you mean. Where there's time, you're so, whatever's going on, Or you're not even thinking of eating. You're just in prayer. That's good, Rodney. I never thought of that. Yeah, that's good. Any others? It's a fascinating subject. But again, it's one that we don't often talk about. Or many of us, if not most of us, haven't ever done it. We're not commanded. I will say this. There's not a command given to us in the New Testament to fast. But as it says here, when you fast, there's an assumption that there is fasting and that we do. So just an interesting topic there, all right? Let's have a word of prayer, and then let's look at our prayer sheet. Did I see a hand over there? What do you mean by? Oh yeah, they would put on a show. They might put on a sackcloth. They would make themselves look really down, so people would go by like, "Oh look, Marie, she's fasting today. Oh, she's so good." And so what Jesus is saying, don't do that. You're praying in secret, which he was just saying, and make it like you are. Just act normal. So it's between you and the Lord. God's going to know that you're fasting, even if you don't verbalize it. He's going to know that you're setting that aside for him. So, good question. All right. Church, I'm always here to answer questions. So, especially on Wednesdays, this is a better opportunity for that. All right. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this topic. Thank you for and Jesus speaking to us, Lord, on something we're all susceptible to, hypocrisy, wanting others, their approval and their praise. But Lord, while it's not wrong to have received praise from others, may our motivation, our desire not be to receive this from man, but from you, God. May we do all for your glory and in your name. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to just take a moment and look at our prayer sheets here. And we'll